time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation. Whether you're a new cigar enthusiast or a cigar aficionado, we have something for everyone. Bringing you the best interviews, cigar reviews. So grab yourself a cigar.
It's time to light them up.
And welcome back to Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We got Hatch in the co-pilot seat tonight. How you doing, Hatch?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sitting here smoking this Buffalo 10, and I believe this is the Maduro. I found a great deal on these. I mean, these are not like awesome cigars, but I got like 50 of them for like $150.
Oh, and you were just telling me you liked the natural better, surprisingly.
Right. That even surprised me.
Yeah.
It's just this one is a little sweeter, maybe. Mm. You know what? Just the natural seems like it has a little bit more flavor complexity, where this is like a one-hit wonder.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm not going to smoke this on the show, folks. Hatch doesn't know what we're smoking today, so I'll let her know that shortly. Just so you guys know, at home, we are going to be talking about some interesting topics today. At least I hope you find them interesting. We're going to talk about aging cigars and how it changes the flavor profile and other characteristics of the cigar, which I find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about, you know, some cigar manufacturers age their cigars, so you buy it aged. Mm-hmm. But then there's a lot of people that age their cigars once they buy them. That's not me.
I was going to say, that is not a Jones method.
That's not us.
No.
Excuse me. So, anyway, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the different cigar vitolas.
I'm excited about this one because I suck at guessing ring gauges.
And I put most of them on here. You're always going to find some unique ones. I don't even know what it's called, but, you know, they have this one cigar they sell, but it's really three cigars wrapped up. Mm-hmm. You seen those?
Yes.
Like, that's not a vitola to me. That's, like, have you ever seen them when they pull them apart? It's all like a corkscrew.
Doesn't surprise me.
And I've smoked one, and it was good, and I was shocked. I was like, I didn't think it would be good. But it was a Cuban Partagas twisty, okay. Whatever you call those. But we're going to talk about vitolas, and then we're going to do our showcase showdown. And I think my list is interesting this week.
I'm sure it is. I hope mine is.
Yeah, me too. The showcase showdown means like people listen to the show and then they vote who had the best list. So that's why it's the showdown.
Love it.
Where else have you heard showcase showdown?
Am I supposed to have known that?
Are you an American? Do you know who Bob Barker is?
I'm like,
The Price is
I did
Right.
Watch The Price is Right, but I mean,
come on, The Price is Right.
Wasn't he diddling the girls behind the scenes?
No.
I think he
not
was.
Not Bob.
Yeah,
no.
Bob was a dirty old man.
I don't think that's true.
Bob was.
Do you think that's true, Carlos? I never heard that.
Carlos, Google it. Fact check it.
I think you're thinking of Dawson.
Wikipedia.
Yeah. So, anyway, and then after that, we're going to play a little round of celebrity facts or fiction.
I'm game. Let's do it.
Yeah, and at that point in time, we're going to bring Carlos on. And we're going to play a game. I'm going to be the host, and you two are going to see who can win.
Okay.
So, anyway, guys, tell everybody what you're drinking.
I've got the Larceny Barrel Proof. And before the show started, we were talking, and Rob and I pick up hints of cherry with this. So it's got a little bit of sweetness to it, but it's, what's the proof on that?
124.
124, yeah. So got a little bit of heat, not too bad. It's good.
And we're going to smoke some pretty special cigars tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you have your choice.
Okay.
Because they're both that freaking good. One. See here, folks.
Oh.
Have you had either one of these?
I have not.
So both of them are very, very, very good.
Okay.
They're both by Arturo Fuente.
Okay.
This is the Opus X 20-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually don't know exactly what this cigar is called. It's by Arturo Fuente. It's one of their special cigars. But if you look right there, what does that say? Like Desentino, or you push the button on my camera there. It times out so often. Just there you go.
Okay. It's the Disturo. Lord, I can't
I thought it was
that.
Destino.
Destino Siglo. Siglio.
Bigelow.
Biglio. Bigelow. Good Lord. None
like
of us can
Deuce
read that.
Bigelow. So anyway, which one would you prefer? I could care less.
I want the X.
Take it. I smoked that last week, and it was phenomenal. It was.
So excited.
So tell everybody what you're... Oh, I'll tell everybody what I'm drinking. I was drinking the early times, but now I'm switching over to the Elijah Craig. This is a... What do you call that? A cornerstone of my alcoholism. I mean, it's just a solid bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
And at $32, can't beat it.
No.
It's like a sore pecker.
Gosh.
Sorry. Anyway. Let me see that cutter, if you don't mind.
Yeah, how about it?
And, I can't wait to see what you think about that. That's a... Have you had one of those?
No. You're talking about Carlos?
Yeah.
Have you had one? No.
Good draw right out the gate. I love that. Now, what did I do? Sorry, folks. Not really prepared with my lighter. See? Got it charged, ready to go. This is the El Popo that Artesano del Tobacco sent us, and we appreciate the gifts. So, like, that's probably one of the most high-end cigars you've had.
Yes.
And so... I'm interested to see, because a lot of times when you get into the higher end cigars, like at that caliber, it's less flavor.
Mm.
And what I mean by that, it still has all the flavor, but it's very delicate. So you really have to pay attention.
Ooh,
and that's when you like go to a next level, because it forces you, you know, when you're smoking a pepper bomb, you just smoke it and shoot the breeze, you know what it tastes like.
Right.
But when you get a delicate, balanced cigar,
mm-hmm.
you're like, I got to pay attention here.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, well, I'm excited to smoke. Oh, you're welcome. I haven't had one of these. I haven't smoked one of these in probably 2 or 3 years. But it is a very good cigar.
And I know you give me crap for being a fast smoker, but I will slow it down. It's going to be good.
Oh, and the retro hell on this is so nice. When you get into the high ends, the retros are ultra smooth.
You know I can't do that.
I know you
it can't. Goes
I'm
bad
not,
every time.
I'm not trying to get you to do
that.
I feel
like I'm being waterboarded with smoke.
All right.
Already on to glass two, are we?
Well, I had part of that before we started. Just warming up, folks. Just warming up. You know what? I was going to ask you earlier, have you learned anything this week? I know you're a big learner.
Dude, I learn something new every week.
I know there's more than one. So what's one thing that you, as a takeaway from this week, you're like, I learned that.
You know, we were talking about this last week, and I was telling you about a book I just finished about, and it's called Enlightenment Now by Steven Pinker. And he's a social scientist who has written a book basically going, hey, guess what, guys? The world is not as bad off as you think it is. And here's a lot of different data for why it's way better.
The world's a better place than what we give credit.
Yes, totally. Now, do we have some problems we need to cure? Absolutely. But he's like, it's an optimistic book.
It's not 1941.
Correct. And anyways, it was a great read. I learned a lot from that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I dig... learning stuff. Like I'm a big learner mm-hmm. in different categories really than what you are. I'm more of a tech guy.
Oh yeah.
But like I love that kind of stuff.
Have you learned anything?
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about that. What I learned is about attorneys and the law system, but that's for another day.
That's another topic.
But anyway, I told you though, the lawyer called me.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm pleased. That's all I can ask.
I know, exactly.
I mean, I would have preferred none of that happened, but it did. Mm. And so, you know what? He says, I'm going to fix it. So rock and roll.
Mm, let's do it.
So anyway, before we jump into the aging cigars, let's talk about one of our sponsors, McAuliffe Cigars.
Badass sponsor.
Badass sponsor, badass cigars. And I just saw where Al McAuliffe was going to be at the Two Guys Smoke Shop, which is also the home shop for the Cigar Authority podcast.
And then like a 3-day event.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And so I posted on there. I was like, if you haven't met Al,
yeah, go meet him.
You've met him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many rich guys, I don't want to put out a number, but I mean, he's a down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
He's not sitting around, like, talking down to you.
Honestly, all of his people are great. And I think
they have a great team.
Yeah, they have a good team.
And what you were about to say, I apologize, is because of him.
Yeah.
Like, he put together a great team of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it usually works.
No, that's what you got to do.
So, I feel like he's playing small ball. Remember that movie?
I did not see it, but...
You did not see that movie?
No.
Why?
I don't know.
You don't like Brad Pitt, do you?
Small ball?
I thought you were going to say small balls. I was like, hey, someone's peeking through the door hole.
Oh, my gosh. What dates is Al going to be at the Two Smoke deal?
I don't know. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. Though.
But, yeah, if you get an opportunity, if you're up there at the two Guys Smoke Shop, go by and meet Al. It's a pleasure. Like, he is probably, he could be my favorite guy to interview, period.
Ooh.
Because, one, he's not just cigars. He's been an entrepreneur since he was.
Yeah, he's got that Riata restaurant and everything, and which is really good food if you haven't eaten there.
Oh, you've eaten there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is way good.
Yes.
You know there's a outdoor patio on the third floor.
No.
You know, it's three floors.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go up to the top, you can eat out there, but you can also smoke cigars.
Well, that's just speaking your love language, buddy.
Yes, it is. And so everything I've had there was really liked out. Now, do you know why he opened that?
I know you told me, and I can't remember.
So he has a ranch down around Presidio or somewhere down there, you know, and... They stopped at, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was some little, like, roadside diner. You know, a little town that probably had, like, 200 or 300 people. And there's a restaurant there. And he was in there eating one day. And a bus pulls up with some, sports team. And they're, like, 8, 9 years old. Anyway, this team comes in. And they're like, hey, we're not serving a bus full of kids. Because, you know, they're
mm-hmm.
rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't serve kid food. You know, he was kind of being a douche.
Yeah.
And Al was like, are you serious? And so he opened the first Riata there.
Okay.
And so then he opened one in Fort Worth, and it's been one of their top restaurants in the whole DFW area.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a great location, downtown, everything. So.
Yep. That's called the Sundance area.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just call it downtown.
A lot of investing in that area
mm-hmm.
to make it nice. They have people walking around picking up trash. Cigarette butts.
How do we get that here?
Good luck on that. But anyway, one of our other sponsors is Case Elegance. And you know what we're going to do is this week, we're actually going to do a review of one of the Case Elegance humidors.
Okay.
And I would like to do a series of three. It's not going to be a show. It's just going to be posted on YouTube.
Okay.
A full review of the humidor to show it off.
That's a great idea. You should do that for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I even told my wife, I'm like, I'm going to buy one of those Lazy Susans.
I have one. You can just borrow it.
Oh, a rock and roll. Well, I was told my wife, like, do you know where I could get a Lazy Susan? And she's like, anywhere.
Yeah, at anywhere.
And she's like, they're cheap.
Kind of shocked y'all don't own one.
Mm,
no. Every Southern woman owns a Lazy Susan.
The only time I ever saw one is one of the houses we lived in before, we had a Lazy Susan cabinet. So when you opened up the door, mm-hmm. it was like the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You opened up and it spun around, so you didn't have to dig around in there.
Yep, my grandmother's house had one of those.
So check out Case Elegance. You'll find a link down in the show notes that'll get you 10% off any of their products. And Cigar Talk's the only place you can get 10% off. Let's jump into aging cigars and how time shapes the flavor. It changes. It makes, well, we'll get into that. I don't want to just give you everything up front. So first of all, natural fermentation. You know, the longer you age it, it ferments more, it mellows it out more. It makes it smooth. It's not as harsh. In fact, I don't know if this is true. So we could just be passing on bullshit that was passed on to me before. But I was told, like, if you bought, say, a cheap bundle of cigars for like $40 for 20, you know, that's pretty cheap, $2 a stick.
Right.
But if it was quality tobacco, but it wasn't aged and, you know, it's long fillers, not short fillers. But if you were to put that in a humidor and age it for 2 or 3 years, when you get done, you have badass cigars.
No shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I've never done that because, you know what? These are the longest cigars I've ever had right here. You know when I got these?
No.
Before we went to Vegas.
Okay. So here's a question. So I've got, I'm going to say five maybe currently that I've had aging in my humidor for year and a half right now. Okay.
You'll be able to tell the difference.
Yeah. So why do you not do that? Why do you not do the aging process? Just impatience or?
Do you know how many cigars get smoked in the studio?
A shit ton.
And we're not just talking about me.
Right.
Like.
But I'm talking about like you having like a special case. Like this is mine.
I
know.
This is where this came from.
I know.
So 4.5 months. That's as long as I've made it. That's a big deal for me.
Yeah.
So how's that so far?
It's great.
Is it smooth?
Yes, it is. Very smooth.
Yeah.
I just like this band. It just looks opulent. Looks great.
It's the coolest. Well, you know what? I like my band better.
Yeah.
Like that is.
It's a good band.
That's badass. But anyway, you know where I got these?
Where?
Melanie Cisco Kidd gave them to me.
Did she really? Oh my gosh.
She did. You know, her and Tom from Placencia were on their way. They drove out to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And they came by here and we recorded together and she gave me a handful of these and those. And I was like,
well, that was kind of her.
She is a very generous individual.
No joke. Okay.
So, all right. Next one is the tobacco oils. You know, there's oils that are in this leaf. And have you ever noticed that when you're looking at the wrapper, like some of them are very oily.
Yes.
Like they have a sheen to it. It's so oily. So that's a big part of it. So over time, the oils of the tobacco blend, and that's where the depth and complexity comes from, is when those oils have time to resonate and to, you know, good. The next is a big deal is the humidity balance. You know, if you're going to be aging cigars, you need them in an environment that's going to preserve the right level of moisture in the cigar. Because the worst thing you can do is age a cigar, but you dry it out.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever smoked a dried out cigar?
Lord, yes.
Like, that's the worst.
It is. It's horrible.
I mean, I've done it before. Whenever I was getting out of my car, I was like, oh, look, there's a cigar in the floorboard. I don't know how long it's been there. I fire it up and I'm like, oh, no, no. So that's no bueno. So you want to make sure that you're keeping your humidity just right. And when I say just right, 65 to 70.
Yeah, I'd say that's what mine's always at 68 to 70. So, yeah, perfect.
And so when you have very dark, oily cigars in your humidor, it's been my experience that it's better to keep them at 65.
Mm.
If you have like lighter colored cigars, they're not as oily and they're not as dense, then
bump it up.
68 to 70 is better because it's actually humanizing, humidification of the cigar better. But if it's dark and oily,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's already holding more moisture than what this would.
That's a really good point. I'm glad you said that. I don't think I have any right now that are really oily, but that's good to remember.
And we don't smoke a lot of oily cigars. Mm-hmm. Like on occasion I do.
Yeah.
Like if you were to look at the Roma Craft Cro-Magnon.
I just had one of those, what, last week?
Yeah, and so you know that's a dark, oily wrapper. I think it's got a Connecticut broadleaf. And so you get a lot of fermentation. Now, think about this, though. You have a Connecticut broadleaf that is a Maduro, but you also have a Connecticut leaf that is very light in color.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about how they grew it, how they fermented it, and then how they aged it.
Oh.
Next one is going to be the evolution of strength. So when you look at a cigar and say you have one that is a pepper bomb. Now, you know what I'm talking about when I say pepper bomb?
Yes.
Like I'm trying to think of what cigar would be a pepper bomb. Maybe a LFD, Double Lajero, something like that that's real strong.
I haven't had one of those in a long time, but I know what you're talking about.
So you can take one of those and age it in a humidor for, let's just say, a year to 2 years, and it's no longer that powerhouse is what you remember. It's going to be way smoother. It's not going to be so strong, and it becomes more delicate.
So if there's one that you find like that, that you're like, man, I want to like this, but it's just a little too strong. What you're saying is just age it more, and that should help with that.
Yeah. I mean, the ideal situation would be when you buy a box of cigars, you age those for at least 3 months.
Okay.
Because when you buy a box, all those cigars in that box, all they've known is travel.
Right.
Or sitting in a cigar shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how they've been treated.
Correct.
Now, hopefully, you go into a good cigar shop that is spot on and always keeping it right where it needs to be. But when you put cigars in a stock room, the cigar boxes at the bottom that have boxes on top, in front, and side, they're not getting the humidity they need.
No.
So, anyway... the wrapper transformation, I actually think this is one of my favorite parts of aging.
It's so cool.
What's that?
The wrapper transformation.
Because it actually, you can see the evolution. Like when you pull a cigar out that's been aged versus one you just bought today,
yep.
It looks way different.
Yes.
It actually, it's almost like it just mellows. You know what I mean by that? It's like... you don't see the veins as sharply.
Yeah.
It like really just dampens down all the detail, but it also is making it smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Last one is, let's talk about the optimal. The optimal aging time.
This says 3 to 10 years, and Buster, you ain't doing that.
I would be shocked if I ever had one that was over a year.
I would be shocked as well, to be honest.
I mean, and so when I went back and said earlier, aging a decent cigar for 2 or 3 years turns it into a great cigar.
So if I were to give you an acid and we just age it for 3 years.
That's not going to help. That is not going to help because you're not going to get rid of. But I'll tell you what, it would probably still be better because that sweetness wouldn't be so pronounced.
Or a factory smoke or something, you know.
So I've heard you can actually age one of those for like, say 10 years.
That'd be a good experiment.
I'm not going to be around that long, so, you know. Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up for our aging cigars. If you age cigars like for more than 6 months, reach out. I want to know, like...
I want to know.
What's your experience? In fact, if you age cigars for a year or more, I want you to let me know. I want you to come on the show.
I want to know the process. Yeah, like what are you doing with it? You just sitting it in there? Are you rotating it all the time?
You have
like,
to rotate them.
Yeah. Oh, I know that, but how often are you rotating them? What's your process?
And how good are they?
Yeah.
Here's what we do. We find out who's aging cigars for more than a year. They reach out, we have them on the show, and we make them send us some of their cigars.
I hope someone reaches out, because that's just going to tell me your listeners have the same amount of patience you do. Please, people, reach out.
I know guys that age. You remember, you met Zeka?
Mm-hmm.
That dude aged cigars.
Well, let's hear from him.
I'll reach out, see what he'll do. Hey, coming up next, we're going to discuss the cigar vitolas, but first... let's talk about Rabbit Air.
I love it.
I mean, we're sitting here smoking, and I mean, there's no smoke in here.
There is not a lick of smoke.
And like, we rarely have 5 people smoking in this room.
Yes.
And sometimes it's like Carlos, he's a little sensitive. He'll be like, hey, man, can you turn up the rabbit?
My eyes are burning.
Because I'll have it on level 1. I'll kick it up on level 4. or at least I intend to, and then I forget, and then like 10 minutes later, he's like, hey, man, did you turn that up? And I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot. And then I turn it up, and by that time, it's pretty smoky in here, and within 3 to 4 minutes, there's no smoke in here.
Yes, it's amazing.
And that filter that we've had in this unit is from November. We're coming into May, so that's 5 months old, right? No, six.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, whenever we talked to them, they wanted to become a sponsor. They were like, yeah, the filter system lasts for a year. And I was like, yeah, I don't think you know how much we smoke. So I'm going to need you to go ahead and send me some backup filters. So I have one ready to go, but I haven't really seen that we need it yet.
So I would say, like, if you ever have like a solid group of people in a closed environment, this is your best bet to get. Great product.
And it's a nice looking unit.
Oh, I know.
I mean, have you ever seen like a Honeywell air purifier? It looks like the old style hair dryers at the beauty shop. You know what I'm saying? It's like, got that big old thing. Yeah, they're not pretty. And they're expensive as shit too.
No, this is sleek. It's
but
awesome.
If you're going to smoke indoors, you need something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit around and inhale everybody else's secondhand smoke.
No. Don't do that. Get a rabbit.
All right, guys. Oh, and there's a link in the show notes for the rabbit as well. We don't have a discount code for them yet, so I don't know if we'll ever get one, but I'll reach out and ask.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk about the cigar vitolas. And so that's a fancy word for size, guys, or Spanish. Carlos, is that Spanish for size? What's vitolas? You don't know? He's not really Mexican, folks. He's from El Salvador. Look, I got it right. I could never remember where he's from. I'm like, Ecuador, Honduras, Nicaragua. But you know what's funny is he's right in the middle of all of those places. I didn't know that you were just south of Honduras and north of Nicaragua. El Salvador. Do they grow tobacco there? It's in the perfect place. I don't understand that. Volcanoes there? Yeah, y'all should be doing some tobacco, bro. Anyway, the standard size to me across the board when you get into vitolas is going to be the Robusto. Like, to me, every cigar, well, not every cigar, but most cigars are judged on how good is the Robusto.
And we smoke a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
And your normal Robusto is going to be 4.5 to 5.5 inches and usually a 50 ring gauge. Might be a 48, might be a 52, but in general, you're right at that 50. So I like those because you're getting a lot of wrapper, medium amount of filler, medium amount of binder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the number one vitola sold.
Yeah.
Robusto.
I mean, that's what I buy the most of.
That's what the Cubans mainly smoked, or smaller, actually. Oh. The next one is the Lancero. You smoke Lanceros? I don't recall you smoking.
I was going to say, no, and you don't smoke any, do you?
You know what? There is one Lancero that is one of the most amazing cigars I've ever smoked.
What is it?
I've got it in that jar over there. When we come back for break, I will pull it out and show it to you.
Okay.
But the thing about, you know, the Lancero is normally going to be like 6.5 to 7.5 inches long. And the ring gauge is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 36 to 40, 42 at the max. So you're talking about a long, skinny stick.
Right.
And I've really never been a big fan because I like smaller ring gauges. But when you get into the 38, what happens is you got to pace yourself just right. If you go too fast, you're going to overheat the tobacco and it's going to make the experience not so bueno.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't puff on it quickly enough, it goes out. And so my experience is I've had to relight over and over,
yeah.
And that takes away from the experience too.
Or were you just yapping away and not paying attention?
That's part of it. But with like a ring gauge like this, like mm-hmm. I think this is probably a 52. What do you think that is? You think that's a 52 or a 50? Yeah, I think that's about a 52. With this, I can yak and it's still burning.
Right.
But when it's 38 ring gauge, you can only say like two sentences.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. Yeah, that retro. Anyway, guys, next one is going to be the Toro. And I could be mistaken, but I think the Toro is the second most sold Vitola on the market. And that's not a surprise because you have the Robusto, which is normally a 5x50, and a Toro is usually either a 5.5 or 6 inch by 54, 56.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically just the next size up.
Yeah.
And I got to say, my favorite Robustos are the size that come in like a 5.5 by 50.
Yeah.
Just give me a little bit more. Because that 5 inch, sometimes you're done, you're like, I wish I could have some more of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's the only knock on the Robustos for me.
I get that.
With the Toros, though, because of the bigger ring gauge, you're going to get, it's going to be more smoke, you know, when you puff. It's going to last you longer.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. Like the Gordo 6x60. Like I haven't smoked a Gordo and I don't know when. And I think my smoking pace right now, a Gordo would last me close to 2 hours.
Have you seen me smoke a Gordo?
Mm-mm.
I was going to say, I don't think I ever have, actually.
I've seen Deb smoke an 8x80.
She's brave.
You know.
Yeah.
Next one on the list is the Churchill. And first of all, it was named after Churchill.
Yep.
From London.
Yep.
That was his favorite smoke, and they ended up naming the size after him.
Had one of those
cool
this week.
How cool is that?
I think it's awesome.
Now, which cigar did you have it in? Did you have it in the AJ Connecticut?
I had the Lot 23,
Okay, yeah. How was that?
I liked it.
It was the Lot 23 Connecticut, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So
in the Churchill.
I'm not a fan of the regular Lot 23, and so I never tried the Connecticut. And Sam and both Carlos were like, oh, you got to try that. And so when I tried it, I was like, wow, this is not like your normal Connecticut at all.
Yep. I'm going to talk more about that later. But yes, I did smoke that one this week.
Next one coming up. Oh, also, whenever you smoke a Churchill, because of the length, you tend to get into more complex flavor profiles. And I know that's true because I had never smoked the AJ Fernandez Connecticut, and I was talking to Frankie, and he was like, oh, yeah, you got to try it, but try it in the Churchill. And I was like, really? Because I was like, I don't smoke Churchills. And he was like, trust me on this one. And holy smolies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was blown away, and I was like, I should probably give Churchills a little bit more try instead of sticking to what we get comfortable with.
Right.
Next up is the Corona. Now, I'm a fan of the Corona.
You like you some Coronas.
I love the Coronas. So you get down to a 5, 5.5, 6 inch long cigar, but you're smoking a 42 to 44 ring gauge. Now you're getting into the flavor extravaganza.
So you've always said you are a Robusto guy, but do you not prefer the Corona?
I prefer the Corona Extra.
Extra. Okay.
And we'll get to that. I think that's on the list. Or it was. No, we have a Petite Corona.
Yeah.
But I actually love the Medallia comes in a Corona Extra.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 46 ring gauge. But instead of being 5 inches, it's 6 inches.
Okay.
So that's why they call it the Corona Extra. We'll dive into the next one, which is the Petite Corona. Now, there's cigars that I like in that, too. You're sticking with the same ring gauge of 42 to 44,
mm-hmm.
but you get down into that 4-inch line. Now, why would you want to smoke a 4-inch cigar?
Time.
Okay, that's one reason. Sure, that's one reason. Any other reasons you can think of?
I mean, off the top of my head, I'm thinking if you just want to be able to try something new and you're not committed to like you know,
camera on my side. So you're right on that also. But here's the other thing, and one of the reasons I like the Petite Corona is that there's certain cigars that are like really strong cigars. I don't want to smoke a whole big cigar of that,
right.
But the Petite Corona, and mainly I say that in reference to the My Father's Le Bijou 1922, because that's a strong cigar.
Yeah.
I don't want to smoke a torpedo of that.
Right. And I think that's what I was meaning to get to. Like, I mean, yes, you're not wanting as much of it as you would, you know, something else. So.
Right. But also, if I want to try a new cigar, that might be a good try. Smoke something a little smaller, get a taste for it. Mm-hmm. And also, the Petite Coronas are usually quite a bit less expensive.
Yeah.
I think I pay $7 for the Le Bijou 1922 Petite. And then I think the Torpedo's around $13.
Okay.
So, I mean, if I'm going to try a new cigar that I don't know if I'm going to like. Yep. I wish we knew the name of that cigar that you tried and thought it sucked. And then you saw me in the lounge one day and you're like, oh, you're not going to like that. And I was like, don't jinx me. And then, like, I gave it my best shot and I did not like it.
I think we both blocked that out. It was so bad. It just had a wang to it. I mean,
I don't know. I didn't see what you had smoked, but I didn't make it through the first third.
I didn't either. I'm like, I can't do this. And you know me, I'm not that picky. So, but that one, that was bad. Yeah.
All right, guys. Next one on the list is the Bellicoso. Now, do you like the Bellicoso?
Have I had one?
Oh, yeah. The
which one is that one?
The Yellow Rose. That's
oh,
a Bellicoso.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a torpedo.
Yeah.
And a lot of people might think they're torpedoes, but they're not, because like a torpedo is more of a sharp,
mm-hmm.
to where it's more of a rounded point. And the thing about a torpedo or even a Bellicoso is when you cut it, as long as you don't cut it all the way up at the shoulder and just cut the whole tip off, what happens is all the smoke is funneling because it's getting smaller.
Right.
And as that smoke comes through that narrow opening, flavor just starts really building up right there.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons that the Yellow Rose is so amazing.
It's freaking amazing.
It is. Like, that's a top 10 cigar for me year round.
Yes. I'm always like, I need to get a box of these just for myself.
And I mean, yeah, I've bought the same thing. They're good.
No.
Then you get into the Figurado. Now, here's the thing about the Figurado. Everybody thinks they know what a Figurado is. But the Figurado can actually be more than one thing. It can be like a lot of different sizes and shapes can be Figurado.
So I know nothing about the Figurado.
So do you know what the Placencia is?
Mm-hmm.
That it's, I think, what it's like, $22-23.
Yep.
It comes in the Figurado.
Okay.
But it's like smaller on this end.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say that it's a box press Figurado.
Okay.
But it's smaller on this end, and it slowly expands.
Yep.
And then when it gets to the widest point, then it starts tapering back off. So it's actually small on both ends.
I don't think I've noticed that. That's funny.
So we'll have to take a look at those next time we're at the Leaf. But your Figurados normally come in array of sizes, and that can range anywhere from 4 to 9 inches long. Like, that's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, and then also the ring gauge, they're all over the place. And what you'll notice is they normally taper down, and they have irregular shapes, just like the torpedoes, the pyramids, the perfectos, and all of, and so here's the interesting thing that I love about the Figurado, because like I was showing you, let's take this cigar. It's not a Figurado, but it'll be for a demonstration to pull the band off. So let's say that it's this thick on the end.
Okay.
But down here, it's this thick. So it tapers as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you smoke that cigar, what's happening and what makes it just incredible is that the ratio between binder, filler, and wrapper is constantly changing. So you're getting different flavors than you normally would on something that's just a 5 or a 50 ring gauge all the way through. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the reasons that I love Figurados, is because it, you take a complex cigar and it just like E, what is it? E squared C something. What was
E equals MC squared?
Bingo. That's the Figurado right there. I didn't take chemistry or calculus. So there we go. Hey, guys, that's going to wrap it up for the Vitolas. We're going to be coming up next with the Showcase Showdown, and then we're going to jump into the game with Carlos and Hatch playing Celebrity Facts or Fiction. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a quick break. Everybody needs a redneck girl. Hey, guys, thanks for hanging through the break. We are back after a couple of drinks, and we're going to be doing the Showcase Showdown. Let's see here. You want to go first? You want me to?
Well, let's
you
want to just alternate do it. Back and
forth, one and one?
Let's alternate. Let's do that.
All right.
Okay. Have y'all talked about the Gothic Serpent from Hooten?
Oh, great cigar.
Have you talked about that yet?
I don't think so.
Dude, I love the 2020, but I also...
The 2020 is like the baseline.
Yeah.
That cigar is a step up.
Gothic Serpent. You've got the Ecuadorian Habano Obscuro wrapper.
And what is that, about a $15 cigar? $16?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And then hand-rolled in Nicaraguan tobacco, medium-bodied.
I can tell you this. I'm a fan of Hooten and Young.
I am too.
And they came out of nowhere for me.
I know.
Like, had you heard of them?
No.
I'd never heard of them.
I've been making my way through their line right now. And so, love the 2020, love the Gothic Serpent. And there was one other that I'm going
blank
on right now.
There's one in a coffin that's like 25 bucks. Yeah. I want to smoke that one.
I haven't done that one yet, but I am a fan of that brand. Like, they are fantastic.
I'm disappointed to know that they also have bourbon I didn't get to try.
Yeah, I know.
You know they make bourbon?
I did, and I haven't tried it yet.
I mean, based on their cigars, I'm thinking the bourbon might be pretty damn good.
Seriously. But this one, I mean, you're going to get spice, you're going to get leather, you're going to get some creamy nuttiness. I mean, the whole gamut.
And speaking of creamy, you've been on a kick. Like, you were like, you know what? I really have been enjoying creaminess.
I do.
And it's kind of hard to find.
It is. It really, so if anybody has any great creamy recommendations, please let us know.
Carlos got one for you.
Okay.
Yep.
Silver Mesa?
Sobra Mesa. You had that?
No.
That is Zaca.
I'm writing
so
it down
you know
right
the
now.
The one with the star on it that you love. What's that one called?
Stillwell.
Stillwell. Same guy, but that's one of the creamiest cigars I know. Like I don't know. Do you know what cigar would be creamier than that? I mean, that's a cheesecake for me. You know what I mean? It is creamy. But
okay,
yeah,
you got that written down.
You try that one.
Okay. What's yours?
For me, it's the Caldwell Long Live the King Mad Mofo.
That is quite a name.
Yeah. It's and it's the Maduro.
Okay.
It's blended by AJ Fernandez and Caldwell. It's a joint thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like, if you ever had the Long Live the King?
No.
Okay, so if you go from Long Live the King to the Long Live the King Mad Mofo, it's a totally different cigar.
First of all, props for them coming up with that name.
That's Caldwell.
That's awesome.
Like, Caldwell's a pretty badass dude.
I love that.
Let's see. The factory was the Tabacalera William Ventura.
Okay.
What you didn't tell us what factory yours was made in, but that's okay.
I know.
That's okay.
Good God.
Here's what I love about this cigar. The wrapper is a San Andreas. You know, the Medallia is a San Andreas wrapper.
I know.
I always got to bring that back up. But here's what's interesting on this particular cigar. The binder is a Indonesian tobacco.
Really?
Like, I don't know of another cigar that uses that.
I don't either. I've never had that.
And so, to me, that is, like, to me, you would see this cigar and be like, oh, it's going to be a Maduro, it's going to be strong, it's going to be a little sweet. It has a little extra in there.
Okay.
Because, and maybe it's because of the Indonesian, I don't know. But check this out. On the filler, they use Dominican Republic, Nicaraguan, and USA Pennsylvania broadleaf, but they also use some Lajero. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that filler is a party going on.
Hell yeah.
This one is a six inch cigar with a 54-inch ring gauge. It is the Toro. The MSRP on it is $11.40, and I think that is a good price for this cigar.
Oh, yeah.
When you smoke it, you're going to get some sweetness off that dark wrapper right out the gate. You're going to get some pepperness. You're going to get some earthiness. You're going to get some leather. And then it finishes out just with, like, little bits of hints of pepper. Not too strong.
I think I would like that.
Well, I got some to be here next week.
Let's do it.
All right, that's my number one. What do you got next?
Okay, so last week you and I were talking about how I don't smoke Connecticuts. And I said, you know what? I need to really branch out and
broaden your horizon.
Broaden my horizons, branch out, start trying new stuff. And so you and Sam had said, hey, one of the ones you should try is the Perdomo Lot 23 Connecticut in the Churchill.
And I just smoked that last week for the first time.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go pick one up. And I did. And I really liked it. I had it in the morning with some coffee. It was fantastic. And honestly, for me not even smoking Churchills, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
How long did it take you to smoke that cigar?
Oh, gosh. Hour and a half?
20 minutes?
No.
No, but so, I mean, because I know that you have intently been focused on not smoking
I'm
too
trying
fast.
Trying to slow down.
When you smoke a Churchill, that's a longer smoke.
Yes.
So did you, hour and a half for you, that's a long time.
Yeah, I would say at least that. And so with this one, you're going to get the mild medium body. You're going to get notes of cedar, honey.
And see, for me,
a little bit of that creaminess.
I think it's closer to the medium than on the mild side.
I would have said that too. I don't know why the website puts it medium to mild, but to me, I'm like good medium.
It says mild to medium, but I would say it's mild plus to medium.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a 5-year aged Cuban seed Nicaraguan tobacco, and it is wrapped in an Ecuadorian Connecticut shade wrapper. So
very interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so you know what? Again, trying to branch out, try new things, and yeah, it was a good start.
I was a big fan of that cigar. I'd never smoked it because I didn't like the original Lot 23. So when they said, oh, we have a Connecticut in the Lot 23, I was like, I barely like Connecticuts, you know?
So I made...
And that was at that time.
Right. No, and I made the mistake of years ago, somebody said, Connecticuts are bitter. And I'm like, oh, I don't want that.
So, and some are.
Yeah. And so I'm like, ooh, no Connecticuts then. And so I've always had that in the back of my head, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should actually try some and just see and get some good recommendations. And so that's what I'm doing.
Same. I mean, I just kind of started on that journey on my own because I was smoking pepper bombs all day, every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to try one of these. And actually, my very first Connecticut ever was the La Galera Connecticut.
Okay.
Very good Connecticut.
Okay.
You should put that on your list.
Oh, what's going on there?
All right. And the great thing is when you take that journey going into the Connecticuts, it's a whole new world.
Oh yeah. No joke. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like anything else that you smoke.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, my next one is the MXS Adrian Gonzalez El Titan.
What the hell is that?
It's a, well, so let me tell you, it's made in the Tabacalera Picardo factory.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Tabacalera Picardo. Is that better? The Mexican is laughing. So anyway, it's also a Mexican San Andreas wrapper.
Okay.
See a pattern here?
I do.
The binder's Nicaraguan. The filler is a Nicaragua and Peru.
Okay.
Also a very interesting tobacco. You know what I mean? I like finding cigars that have unique blends, because 99% of cigars is like, oh, what's the makeup of it? It's Nicaraguan.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, it's Dominican Republic.
Right.
It's like, can somebody mix some shit together, please? And so, and I always go back, and I've told this story before, but when I smoked the Revenant from Gurkha, it had a Maduro, no, it was the Habano wrapper, but the binder was Cameroon.
Which blew my mind.
Nobody. Now, there are some people that do that, but that was the first one I had smoked, and I was blown away by it. But anyway, this cigar was earthy. It had a little bit of pepper, had a little bit of hay. You ever had the hay? You ever get that hay?
Not off the top of my head, but I'll pay attention to the hay.
And then it finishes up with some white pepper. You ever experienced the white pepper?
No.
Like Carlos is shaking his head. When you get that, you're like, wow, man, my palate's gotten a lot better.
How would you define white pepper?
You ever had white pepper?
No.
You've cooking, you know?
I've had the black pepper.
I know. There's lots of pepper.
Yeah, I'm a boring person. You know this. I'm very boring.
All right. White pepper.
Hell, the listeners know I'm a boring person.
White
Come
pepper,
on now.
Like, it doesn't have that. What would you say, Carlos? When you have black pepper, you know how, like, black pepper, like, you're shaking it and it, like, gets in your nostrils and you're like, white pepper is not really like that.
Does it set
it's,
you free?
It's more subtle.
Okay.
Would you say that's right, Carlos? I mean, it's not overpowering. And I love black pepper, don't get me wrong. But when you have a cigar that has the white pepper, you're like, I get the pepper, but it's not blasting at me.
What are you, like Emeril Lagasse right now? Like, what the hell?
Is that that cook guy? Bam! Yeah, I know that guy. Anyway, this is a 6.5-inch cigar, 50 ring gauge, called that the Toro Extra, and the MSRP is $1,250.
I love it.
Solid cigar.
Heck yeah.
I've got some of those on the way, too. So
I want to try one with the white pepper.
White pepper. All right, what you got next?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. This one I have not had, but I am having in the morning, and I'm super excited about it. I know. You're giving me the weird look. I know. Okay, it's going to be the... I'm having in the morning with my coffee the Cohiba Connecticut Toro.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you guys. So Hatch came over here not long ago, and she had some of those. She throws them in my humidor. She's like, I'm not smoking those. And so I smoked one, and I was like, holy shit, this is a good cigar. I'd never had it before. And I think, was it a Toro or Churchill?
No, it was a Toro, and you raved about it. I'm like,
it was phenomenal. Like, I was like... creamy.
Yeah.
You know what? It actually competes with the Somber Mesa. Like, it really does. Have you had one? You need to try one. Like, it was really good.
Yeah. Then you went on for like 20 minutes about it. And I'm like, my gosh, I guess I need to try one.
And you brought over two and you're like, oh, I don't want these. And I smoked one. Larry smoked one. If I would have known how good it was, Larry would have not smoked any.
Yeah. And then you were like, do you have any idea how much these cost? I'm
like, no. They're like $25.
Yeah, I think at least. So
right? So, and I'm not a big fan of most Cohibas.
That's why I gave them away. I'm like, So... anyways, so this particular one, let's see here, from the Dominican Republic, like you were just saying, the wrappers from Ecuador and Connecticut, obviously. The binder is Mexican, filler is Brazilian, Dominican Republic, and Nicaragua. Going to be mild to medium. Would you say that's what it was? Mild to medium, allegedly?
It's very creamy. It has delicate notes. I would say it is a mild to mild plus.
Okay.
It's not a medium.
Okay. Good to know.
But, like, when you smoke it, I highly recommend that you smoke it out on your patio at 5:30 in the morning like you do.
Yep.
First cigar of the day, and maybe a medium roast coffee.
Yeah.
Do you like medium roast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that was the plan this week, and then it got freaking cold for whatever reason. I'm waiting till it warms up. I know. And what you did, you have not seen the light of day in forever, so I'm experiencing nature and going to smoke this dadgum Cohiba.
So I got something to say about that. You're wrong. And I showed you that you were wrong, and you did not acknowledge it. Folks, I've been doing some gardening.
You know what? I stand corrected. You have.
Thank
I forgot
you.
About
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you. I have gone out into the wilderness of Texas. I've dug up plants that I want to plant in my flower bed. So I don't have flowers, but I've got badass plants. I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know if they're going to live. But if they don't, I'll go dig up some more.
I will say your current garden looks pretty nice. It looks
very nice. And I'm not done.
It looks good for what it, I mean, for what you've done. It looks fantastic.
I brought in 3 thicket bushes, like, dude, thorns like this. But they're small little green leaves, and every once in a while they got like a little ball of green. Cool looking little plant. I dug them up, brought them home, planted them. And you know what a yucca? Yucca?
Mm-hmm.
Yucca?
Mm-hmm.
It's a spike. You know, it looks like a cactus spike. I dug up 2 of those. So on the way home from Del Rio last week, I was seeing all these spike plants, the yuccas. And I was like, I want to pull over and get some of those, you know? And so anyway, I whip into a rest stop. My wife and kids like, what are we doing? I'm like, I'm going to pull up one of those yuccas.
Did you pick you up a sombrero on the way, too?
And my wife says, there's no way you're going to be able to pull that out of the ground. And I'm like, I'm going to get a little one. It's no big deal. So I get out. I go over there and find me a smaller spike plant. Dude, I worked on that son of a bitch for 5 minutes. No, not coming up. Like, what you don't know is, like, you know how it's a spike? Like this, the root is like this, and it goes straight down into the ground. I get back in the car defeated, and my wife's like, all I can tell you is I got one heck of a video. I was over there pulling, and I mean, I was tired when I got back in the car.
Anyway,
here's my next cigar. And hey, I'm going to need some help on this pronunciation. Can you see this right here? What does that say, Carlos?
Azuliolo.
So yeah, so in Spanish people, that means it's Spanish for blue and gold. So if you speak Spanish, you probably already knew that. Anyway, the factory, it's made in Nicaragua. American cigars. The wrapper is an Ecuador Habano, which, you know, I love Habanos. In fact, I love Ecuador and Honduras Habanos maybe more than anywhere else because you get more spice out of them. The binder is the Nicaraguan Jalapa, which is a very, very high-end binder. The filler is Dominican Republic and Nicaraguan. And it's 6 inches long. It's a 50 ring gauge, so it's a Toro. Price point, MSRP is $11.95. So on this particular cigar, it starts off earthy, then it gets a little coffee going. Not like an infused cigar, you know, just notes of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even some espresso. But then it goes into some, like, regular chocolate sweetness.
Ooh.
Not a dark chocolate, an mm-hmm. actual milk chocolate, mm-hmm. which is rare. Usually I get the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But going into the second third, it became overpowered with this awful bitterness. You remember what we were talking about? Like when you smoke a cigar, one puff too many. Are you aware of this?
Yes.
Okay. That's what it was like getting into the second third. All of a sudden, this bitterness hit, and it was like that oil had gotten overheated or something.
Mm.
And I called it quit right then. I didn't finish the cigar. I sent it to Cigar Hell. I was like, I'm not smoking it. I'm done.
Okay.
So this cigar was not a cigar for me, or maybe I got a bad one. I don't know. I might try it again later on. But for my review, the Spanish Blue and Gold was a no-go for me. And so, you know, when we have great cigars, we're going to talk about them. If we have a cigar we didn't enjoy, but I was looking forward to, we're going to talk about that too.
I'm looking forward to my freaking Cohiba. I want that thing to be amazing.
It's going
to
be amazing.
First of all, half the cost is just in the metallic box it comes in. So
I don't know. I didn't pay for the one I smoked.
I know. I gave it away. I was a moron.
She's like, hey, I don't want these. And me and Larry are like, oh, okay. But hey, guys, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to do the celebrity facts or fiction, and Carlos is going to join us.
I just want credit for keeping this baby going.
I'm impressed.
Okay, I want freaking credit. I want street cred.
All right, guys, it's time for celebrity fact or fiction. All right, y'all ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to play a little game with our two contestants. We have Carlos and Hatch. And whichever one gets the most answers correct are going to win a Minnow cigar. You go from a $80 cigar to a $3 cigar. All right, we're going to start out here, guys. Here's the way the game works. There's going to be two truths, one lie about a celebrity, and they have to guess which one is the lie. At the end of the five that we have, we'll see who the winner is. First one up is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. All right, I'm going to read off three facts. One of them is a lie. All right, before his wrestling career, Dwayne Johnson was on track to be drafted into the Major League Baseball, but was sidelined due to a shoulder injury. Here's number two. Dwayne Johnson played college football for the University of Miami before joining the WWE. Here's the last one. He holds dual citizenship in the United States and Canada due to his father's Canadian heritage. All right. So I don't know how we do this so you don't cheat off of each other. So A, B, or C is the answer. Y'all remember?
Okay.
And so I'm going to count the three and both of y'all just blurt out your answer.
We blurt out what the lie is, correct?
No, you blurt out the, yeah.
Okay.
But A, B, or C.
Okay.
Are you ready, Carlos? One, two, three.
A.
The correct answer or the lie is actually A.
Mm.
Good job. He was not going to be a baseball player. I didn't even know he played football. All right, now we're on to the next one, which is Taylor Swift. I know you're a Swiftie, Carlos. All right, we're going to start with A. Taylor Swift once worked as a barista before her music career took off, mastering a latte art in her spare time. B, Taylor Swift has a cat named Olivia Benson, named after the Law & Order SVU character. C, she is known for sending hand-picked holiday gifts to her fans, showcasing her personal touch and gratitude. Are y'all ready? One, two, three.
A.
Again, A is correct.
I'm not a Swiftie either. So.
Funny story I'll tell y'all after the show about being a Swiftie.
Okay.
All right, next one is Elon Musk. Elon Musk owns a collection of, okay, this is A. Elon Musk owns a collection of James Bond memorabilia. B, Elon Musk once had a cameo in a popular sci-fi TV series. And C, Elon Musk taught himself computer programming at a very young age.
B.
I didn't count. And the correct answer is B.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody is much more of a celebrity whore than the rest of us. All right, our next one, and just so you know, she's won 3 out of 5, so you're just swimming in circles now. We've got one arm taped to your side. This is about Adele. A, she has a fear of performing live. B, Adele's first performance was at the age of 4 at a family wedding. And C, Adele was once a competitive ice skater. And don't answer yet. 1, 2, 3.
C.
You don't get credit. You waited until after she said it.
It's fine. Yeah.
All right. All right. You both got that one
okay,
right.
Good. I'm,
yay.
I'm
Carlos
four
is
for 4.
And Carlos, well, no, you're 3.5, and he has a half. Next is Tom Holland.
Holland.
Okay, close enough. Holland. You know what's funny was when I did this, I thought it was Tom Hardy.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know who Tom Holland is. Do you?
He's the Spider-Man guy in the latest stuff.
Okay, cool. The young kid.
Yes.
Cool. All right. A, Tom Holland is a Holland. Tom Holland is a licensed pilot. And is learning to also fly helicopters. B, he has a background in gymnastics. And C, has a twin brother named Harry. On the count of 3, A, B, or C, 1, 2, 3.
C.
Nope, you're both wrong.
Is it A?
It's A.
Damn it, I was going to say A.
Not a pilot.
Damn it.
Hey, guys, hope you found that fun. Hatch is going to get a minnow. She's going from the 20th anniversary Opus to the minnow. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed the show this week, and until next time,
we'll see you soon.
Happy trails to Bombadida, he's Bombadida, Bombadida, Bombadida.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather.
Happy trails. Bombadida, 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 Bombadida. Bum 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 b